All right. Good morning. This is Jennifer Richmond, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study. And today we are in part one of the final chapter of Ephesians. And so that'll bring us to Ephesians chapter 6. Grab your Bibles. And if you don't already have the Bible study downloaded, you can get that on the La Mirada Christian Church website. That's lamiradachurch.com. Go to the Women's Ministry Bible Study page, and you'll see us right there. How are you guys doing this morning? I'm doing pretty good. Fighting a cold. I've been coughing and sneezing, a little tickle in my throat. I got all my oils around me. You can see them behind here. I've been drinking my tea, taking my drops and all that good stuff. No cold is going to get me. I got no time for that. As I continue to cough. But I do have sniffles and water to go with it, so you'll have to excuse me. Oh. But at least I'm here, right? I've been way sicker than this year. Remember earlier this year when I got super crazy sick? You know, I got up every single day and did this Bible study with you, even though I was that sick. And I was really sick those few days, but thank God for His Word. It really motivates me to be with you, but also just to be in the Word. And so even if it was just little old me, I like being in the Word. It's just the best part of my day. So, and lately writing the new Bible study, it's been my entire day. So that's awesome. And, speaking of that, we're going to be starting our Hebrew study. You want to make sure that you're there with us. We won't be on live, until Tuesday when the actual Bible study begins. I should have grabbed a Kleenex before I started. All right. I will use paper towel instead, but you don't need sniffly nose, Jennifer, on your podcast, do you? All right. Like I said, coughing and sniffling and sneezing, and hopefully none of the other dwarves will show up today. You ready? Let's go ahead and pray and get started. And here we go. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for our time together right now. Your word is truth. Your word reorients us. In our busy schedules, we tend to get lost in what we're doing and get off from who we're doing it for, and ultimately that's you. And so right now in your word, I pray that that would center us back on our purpose in life, which is to glorify you. Thank you again for your word today, and may you open the eyes of our hearts so that we could understand it even better. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's do this. So, finally, well, that's the first word of our study. Finally. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10 here. And I actually prefer reading it on my Bible Gateway app because I can get the screen really big. So get that screen open. All right. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Hello, Lucy. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, as I boldly proclaim a sneeze here, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that you also may know that what I am going, how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. You're going to see it. You're going to see that sneeze come out sometime this morning, I hope. Isn't it satisfying when you have a good sneeze? All right. That's our opening. I love it when Paul opens with a really strong connecting word, a conjunction like that, an adverb in this case, functioning in that position. I know, grammar nerding on you for a minute. Finally. Finally what? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Write that down on your answer sheet there. Why? Everything he said, this entire book, summing it up here, finally, after everything I've told you, you need to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Why? Well, he goes into that in verse 11 and following. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's why. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of the might, because you have a real enemy. I've given you a whole ton of good news, he's saying. I've told you who you are in Christ. I've told you this new community that we all have together. I've shown you how I want us to submit to one another out of love and reverence for Christ and who we are in Christ. But I need you to be prepared. This is going to get real. Okay? So finally, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Why? Because you have an enemy. Where else has Paul mentioned being strong, strength, or words to that effect in this letter? And what was the purpose for having that strength? Well, let's take a look at Ephesians 3:16 and back in Ephesians 3, actually. If you've been with us during the study, I hope as you're going through this that familiar words are rattling through your mind. We've done a read-through now of Ephesians 5 times. And as you've been doing your read-through, one of the things you naturally would do is realize, oh, there's some words that keep on coming up that get repeated. So maybe even this question was self-evident to you, like, oh yeah, strength. He's already talked about that. Let's take a look back at Ephesians 3:16, where he says that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. So Ephesians 3:16, jot that down. Ephesians 3:18, that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. And the purpose was to be spiritually strong and to be capable of comprehending Jesus and his love. All right? And now finally he says, be strong in the Lord one last time. And the strength of his might, why? You have a real battle. And he's going to get into that in just a minute. So what was the reason? Paul says to be strong again, Ephesians 6:10-11, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Paul's admonition in 6:11 assumes two dark realities, person and plan, about our Christian walk. There's an assumption made. There's not maybe, there's not if, there is so that you will be able to stand, okay, against the schemes of the devil. So in a person and a plan, he's making two assumptions. He's assuming, one, there's a person, the devil, and he's assuming, two, he has plans. So the devil's not just kicking back and let everything going. He's actually intentional for the destruction of Christians. All right, we talk a lot about being intentional today. The devil's intentional, yeah. So reread Ephesians 3:1 and 4:1. Where is Paul right now? Where is Paul right now? Let's take a look at Ephesians 3:1. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ on behalf of you Gentiles, and Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy. Where is he right now? Well, he's in prison. That's where he is. And what is he bound with? Further on in chapter 6, verse 20, we read, For which I am an ambassador in chains. Thank you for bearing with me as I cough and sniff and sneezel today. It's a new one. But thank you for bearing with me. What's he bound with? He's bound with chains. All right, so keep that in mind now as we read Ephesians 6:12 again. Paul is writing from a very real, very physically obvious prison with very real and tangible chains binding him. And yet, his admonition is focused not on the fight against something real, like chains put on him by a Roman guard obeying a Roman ruler. But what? List the four spiritual realities that he reminds his readers of. Number one, rulers. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. Number two, against the authorities. Number three, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. And against the spiritual forces of evil. Those spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Very real. So here we have Paul. Physically, you can see. And he's warning us against the battle that is even more real than what he's dealing with. Prison, chains, meh, that's nothing. He's already said he's a prisoner for Christ. He's happy to do it. Right there, right? He's concerned that we be strong in the Lord because of our spiritual issue going on. A very real one. From this reality check, what does Paul then turn the focus on in Ephesians 6, 13 to 18? Go ahead and summarize the focus here in five or six words. All right, so 6, 13 to 18 is the whole dress down of the armor of God, right? Everything that we should be wearing, right? Tip to toe, right? Summarize that. I put it this way. Simply, be dressed for battle. Be dressed for battle. Right, however you want to put it in your notes there. All right, have some fun now. Are you ready? Have some fun with me. I took a picture of what I did in my Bible. I'll hold my Bible up for you to see. Can you see this okay? I'm going to hop over there so I can make sure the visual is coming through. Okay. Hey, there's my Bible. All right, so that is, zoom in a little bit closer. Hi. All right, what I want you to do is get creative. Draw in your Bible here in the notes. I've given you some space there, or some kind of a representation of his armor as we go through describing it. Label each article of armor and have fun. Make it your own style, and you'll remember it better, too. Here's mine. Like I said, I drew it right there in my Bible. And a plug for my ESV Wide Margin Reference Bible, by the way. Love my Bible. Plenty of room. It's got a full inch around the sides and sometimes 2 or more inches at the bottom, depending on where the book ends on the page. Then it's got a column of references down the middle and sometimes a column, a little paragraph on the right of references to help you go back and forth referencing. Really recommend this Bible as we move into the Hebrews study. If you don't already have a Bible that's simply just the Word of God, I can't recommend that enough. It's handy to have study Bibles, and if you see me, I'm constantly surrounded by them. I've got 1, 2, 3 of my study Bibles here. I've got another 2 over there. I do use study Bibles, but when I'm just reading the Word and doing my own initial dig into the Word, I don't want somebody else's notes yet. I really just want to talk to the Holy Spirit and engage in the Word from the Word. And if I go to my awesome study Bible, this is my Ryrie study Bible over here. This is my New Living Translation study Bible, which I enjoy over here. And this is my ESV study Bible. Love them all. But the comments can be distracting because rather than doing my own work through the Word and really digging in, I end up just quickly looking at the study notes. So what I do is I read through the Word first and do my own thinking first, make a note of anything that seems particularly perplexing or disagreeable, to be honest, like, I don't want to do that. then I mark it and really think about it and pray about it and ask the Lord to help me understand it better. And then I go to the guys that have been my mentors. And these are the men who've written the comments in these Bibles here, John MacArthur, Charles Ryrie, the team of people who did the ESV. Wayne Grudem is on that team for the ESV. And then the New Living NIV, all of them. Anyway, point being, please get a wide margin. No notes, just a Bible for yourself. If you want to talk to me about that more, what I recommend, I can give you a range of those. But I really recommend you do that as we get into Hebrews. Little plug there for that. Okay, hopefully while I was chit-chatting on that, you were just mindlessly drawing your picture of the armor of God. Go back to that later and draw in your armor of God in your Bible or in the notes page right there in your Bible study. It'll help you to remember it. You know how I remember it? Years ago, as I was reading it, God gave me a song for it. You want me to sing it for you? Some of you know it because you've been with me for a long, long time. And I'm not, I might sing it for you today. We'll see. Not right now. Let's go on. We have a little bit of a longer study today, so I don't want to be distracted too much. But ever since I wrote that song, and whenever I write a song, I have to say it's just really straight out from the Lord, because they just, when I'm reading the word, it's like the melody just comes to me. So I thank God for that. But when I wrote that song, ever since then, of course, now when I read the scripture, I sing all of the armor of God, and it helps to remember them. If you ever catch me in church sometime, I'm doing this. It's because I'm singing whatever verse we're in. All right, here we go. Number 8. God's word is clear on the nature of our spiritual lives. Read 2 Corinthians 10, 3-4, and 2 Timothy 2, 3-4. That'll be a great way to help you remember it. For starters, for 2 Corinthians, though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have the divine power to destroy strongholds. Love that one. And then 2 Timothy 2, 3-4, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Right? So who enlisted you? The Holy Spirit did. So we are in a spiritual battle. We're aiming to please God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, right? So what do we learn about the reality of the battle? Well, in 2 Corinthians, we learned that we're walking in the flesh, but we're not waging war according to the flesh. Our weapons are of our spiritual warfare, and we have divine power. God has the power to destroy any strongholds. And what about the Christian's commitment level? As we saw in 2 Timothy, we share in the suffering of a good soldier, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, because we don't want to be entangled in civilian pursuits. That's why I take everything lightly that happens. Yes, my heart gets hurt when I get hurt and someone is unkind or mean or deliberately out there to get me as a Christian. But in the big picture of things, I really don't. It's not that I don't care, but I really just take it lightly, because I'm not engaged in civilian pursuits. That's not important to me. My importance is the kingdom of God. And so little flesh wounds and things like that come along, that's easily deflected. I'm interested in the bigger spiritual picture, because there's souls at stake, right? The people that are engaged in my life, if they're hurtful and harsh, that's one thing. But if they're not part of the kingdom of God, that's a massive deal to me. And I'm more concerned about their eternal destiny, to be honest. Okay, number 9. Armor is mentioned in several key accounts in scripture that you're probably aware of, and that Paul's readers would have been as well. So you remember, you have to keep in mind that he's writing to an audience in ancient times. This is 2,000 years ago. And they are reading or being... having read to them, most likely hearing reminders from the Tanakh, what we call the Old Testament. And so they have a sense of familiarity. Now, many of them weren't raised in a Jewish home, and so they don't have that sense of familiarity with the Jewish writings. But those who would, as Jews, the ones who were near, and Gentiles, the ones who were brought near, they all would have been very used to seeing Roman soldiers around. Because that's the society in which they lived during that time. So they were very familiar with this visual imagery. For us, I don't walk around Hacienda Heights. I don't see my husband walking in through the kitchen. Is he sitting down over there? Sitting around in armor for the day, getting out ready to do his day. Good morning. Thank you. Go see Daddy. But for them, the imagery would have been strong. All right, so let's go back to a couple of quick stories. I want you to think about 3 instances of physical armor that would have been very strong visual reminders for them of the insufficiency of physical armor as Paul puts forth spiritual armor. And we're going to really dig into that in just a minute. So I want you to really think about the difference between that. Here's 3 stories from the Old Testament that point to the effectiveness of physical armor. Let's take a look at the story of Saul in 1 Samuel 17, 38-39. So Saul clothed David. This is the famous story of David and Goliath, or before that. And Saul gets ready. He's going to put this armor on David because everyone's given David a thumbs up that he's had some experience and he could take down, Goliath, right? So Saul, who's the king at that time, clothed David with armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. So he's got this physical armor on, but it doesn't fit. It's not, he can't move properly in it. So it's too big. It's not fitting well. He's not tested and used to working around in that. Okay. So there's that. That's the Saul's armor, physical armor. Let's take a look at Goliath's armor. 1 Samuel 17:41-49. So Goliath, the Philistine, and the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and spear and with a javelin, with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. This guy is armed up. Plus, he's 10 foot plus tall. Not that he needed all that armor, but anyway. He is ready to go. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that with all this assembly, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So much for your armor, your spear, your javelin, your sword, Goliath. David gotcha. Well, the Holy Spirit did. Power of God did. All right. A king that you may or may not be familiar with in the Old Testament is Ahab. And 1 Kings 22:34-37, we read this about what happened to him. But a certain man drew out a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the scale armor and the breastplate. Therefore he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and carry me out of battle, for I am wounded. And the battle continued that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians until at evening he died. And the blood of the wound flowed from the bottom into the bottom of the chariot. And about sunset a cry went through the army, every man to the city and every man to the country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. Okay, so what's up here? Goliath's match, just to sum, Goliath's armor is no match for God. And Ahab's armor. Ahab, by the way, was an evil king that ruled over Israel. Bad guy. And his wife's name was Jezebel. You might remember her. Anyway, Ahab's armor, arrow just slipped right through. Right there. It was not perfect. There was a chink, essentially, in the armor. And boom, that arrow just met its mark. And he got dead. He got killed. All right. So, Paul's theme of spiritual armor was another of his expositions on a teaching from the Tanakh, the Old Testament. Read Isaiah 59:17, the first part, just verse A right there. And what associations does Paul make from Isaiah? So Isaiah 59:17, he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. So, you know, Paul isn't inventing this concept of spiritual armor. In total, he's elaborating and really helping remind his readers, this is how we're modeled to do, you know, 500 years prior, or more really, 800, I think, when Isaiah wrote that prophecy there. So what did it say? He put on righteousness as a breastplate and helmet of salvation in his hand. This is a metaphor. This is a visual that was around in the Tanakh, the Old Testament. So there's seven elements of the armor to wear, and Paul twice admonishes what about this spiritual outfit in Ephesians 6:11 and 6:13. What does he say, and what does it say to you about its importance? Well, he says it in 6:11, he says, put on the whole armor of God, and then over in 6:13, therefore take up the whole, again, armor of God. So what is he saying? Put it all on. get yourself covered tip to toe in the spiritual armor of God. Be intentional about every aspect of what you're armed with. The battle is real, and you need every single aspect of it. Put it all on. Well, we're going to pause there for today, and tomorrow we'll be digging into the armor of God as we wrap up chapter 6. Super excited to wrap this up with you tomorrow. Normally, we just do 5 days in our study. This time around, we're doing 6, so I'll see you tomorrow morning. And read that ahead. Take time as we finish up today to draw your picture and share that with me. Post it on Instagram and hashtag that dwelling richly. Hashtag dwelling richly, hashtag LMCC women. That is how I'll be able to see your pictures. And tag me in that post on Instagram or Facebook. Let me see your drawing. If you have an insight or an aha moment or something you'd like to share, share that with us on Instagram or Facebook. And again, hashtag LMCC women, hashtag dwelling richly. That's the name of our overall name of our Bible studies that we do. And I will see you back here tomorrow morning. Saturday, we don't normally get together, but I will be here because we need to finish up chapter 6. And, well, I'm looking forward to that. All right. Have a great rest of your day. God bless you. Hope you're having a wonderful day. I hope you're not sniffling and sneezing like I am today. But I look forward to being with you when we get back together tomorrow morning, bright and early, 7 a.m. God bless you. Bye-bye for now.